Well, I wanted to share with you three very familiar scriptures, but I want to relate them very quickly, and then we're going to go over a synopsis of what happened in these last 7 weeks. We are, as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are to share the gospel. We spent a lot of time on that, of writing our testimony, of knowing what God would have us to share and how we came to Christ, and we're going to talk about that in a moment, but we must share the essence of the gospel. And so I want to start this morning just a reminder to you of what is the message that we're putting forth with all of the tools that we use, with everything that God's Word teaches us. The essence of what has to be the beginning is the gospel, and it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you have your Bibles, I hope you'll turn there. We went over this several times, but you can never do it too much. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 says, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand. And this verse 3, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures." That is the essence of the message of the gospel. It is not just the love of God. Certainly it involves that. It is not just how the Great Commission, as we're going to talk about in a moment, the Great Commandment, as we're to love one another, but people must hear the truth that Christ died for them. Everyone. Red, yellow, black, white, young, old, American, Asian, European, Australian, it doesn't matter. African, it doesn't matter. Christ died for everyone that we might have the opportunity to know God through Him. Because God cannot have a relationship. He's not going to have a relationship with that which is sinful. And all of us are sinners, the Bible teaches us, by nature and by choice. And so when we're sinners there, we need an answer. And that answer is Jesus Christ. And the answer is that God sent His Son to die on that cross for us. And Paul says it here in 15, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, as it was prophesied. And then He was buried. He was dead. He paid the ultimate price. And He was raised on the third day, that God raised Him from the dead. And if God can raise someone from the dead, there's not any sin in your life or my life that God cannot deal with, that cannot be covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus. So there is hope. This is the essence. It's the essence of hope. And then I want you to turn back to Matthew 28, to the Great Commission. And in the Great Commission, this is where we're told what to do. This is what the church is to do. Matthew 28, beginning with verse 18, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" As followers of Jesus Christ, bound together in the church of Jesus Christ, we are to go and make disciples. When you look at Paul's letters, when you look at the New Testament, the essence of the church, the purpose of the church in the book of Acts is to make disciples. You can't make a disciple if they don't hear the gospel, if they don't know what the truth is. That is the problem. We see statistics and so many things in our society today about how many people say they're Christians but do not understand the gospel. They don't understand that it's all caught up in that Jesus died for their sins and He was buried, and God raised from the dead. And only as we come to accept Christ, our Savior, can we know the glory and the joy of salvation and eternity with God. If you want to go to heaven, you must know Jesus. You must have that relationship with Him. Now, the vast majority of us in here would say, "I know that. I understand that." But it's not enough just to know it. There must be an experience there, and we must live it, and we must flesh it out. We must be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're to go and make disciples. That is everything that we're about is there for us, is sharing that gospel and making sure that people would have the opportunity to know Christ as their Savior. And as Christians, we have a great opportunity to be a part of that. So turn with me one more scripture. Turn over to Acts chapter 1, which you know well. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And there he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." We shall receive power. We don't go alone. You don't have to worry about your weakness. We talked about not being afraid. We're going to talk about that again. We're about being nervous, about not having enough knowledge, about not knowing how to do it. We receive power. We go with Him. That is available to every single one of us. And not only is it available, it is clearly stated that we are commanded as a follower of Jesus Christ, you are to be sharing your faith. Every believer is to be a witness. Every believer is to be a witness. So I want you to take, and I did this morning in your outline, it's kind of a synopsis of that, and I want you to look at that, because we are to be witnesses. Every believer is to be a witness. You don't have a choice. Understand, you don't understand biblically if you ever say, "Well, you know what, that's not my thing. I just don't do that well." You know what? You might not do it as well as someone else. The Bible tells us that there are some who are gifted soul winners. They just have a natural gift at doing it. But it doesn't teach us that they're the only ones that do it. Some people are gifted to do it, but every believer is to be a witness. In fact, the truth of the matter is, every believer is a witness. It's only whether we're a good one or a bad one, whether we're really making a difference with the testimony that God has given to us. So let me just take you through this and give you a synopsis, and then we're going to apply it, I think, in a, what you're going to see is a very exciting way. So I want you just to pay close attention here. The Bible teaches us that all believers are witnesses, and yet every study will tell us that 95% plus of people that are Christians today never see a person come to faith in Christ. They never personally see that happen. They never share their faith. And we wonder why our culture is so messed up and why people don't understand, why people are so illiterate biblically. And that's a whole other part of that, of teaching them and sharing the Word of God. And as we went through this, we learned that we could share a story. And we spent a couple of weeks in the last 7 weeks, and I hope that you could do that right now, preparing our story. And we talked about sharing your story, sharing your witness is about my life before I met Jesus Christ. You talk about there was a time, whether you were young or whether you were old. Some people say, "Well, I don't have much of a testimony." We talked about that. I don't have much of a testimony. Everybody's got a testimony, because all of us are sinners. And so what your life was like before you knew or met Jesus Christ. In my case, I was a young boy. I didn't have a long, extensive testimony before I came to Christ. I knew that I was a sinner, but that wasn't the major part of my testimony. The second part of that is, then you talk about how what I did before I met Christ, and then how I came to accept Jesus Christ into my life. How did that happen? Who told you about that? Where were you? What were the circumstances? Was there something that caused you to come to Him and reach out to Jesus? But how did you come? And in that part, you want to share what I just shared, the gospel. You want to share that I realized, you know, that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and that He was buried, and that God raised Him from the dead, and that He is my Savior. You want to share that gospel. And then the third part of that is my life since Jesus came into my life. The change that Christ has made in your life. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is about paying attention, okay? This is about paying attention in your life. Because God is constantly teaching us and using our experiences when we pay attention to Him. This is where it's so important to be rightly connected to Him, to spend time in the Word, to be in a Bible-believing church, to be building God's Word into your life, to be fellowshipping with other Christians, to be using your gifts. That's so important because God teaches you every day the importance He has. He lets you know He's going to be there with you. You don't have to be afraid. It won't always be easy. It won't always be simple for you. But God is going to be there. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. So what is it? What is it that God is doing, has been doing in your life? And sometimes you may not notice. You think it's just luck or it's just the way it comes out here. You know, it's just the way it falls. That's the way it is. No, it isn't. God is moving in your life. And sometimes there are challenges and sometimes there are opportunities. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand, listen to me carefully. Some of you, if you're normal in this, in the world in which we live, you say, well, I could never do that. You need to understand, we're talking about the way you live your life every day. We're talking about how you handle that issue that has you scared to death, how you deal with that health issue, how you deal with that financial problem, how you deal with that relationship issue. It's called walking with Him. What has Christ done? How is He changing my life? Pay attention to that. And then we talked about the power of the gospel. You know, you can tell your story. And by the way, this is one reason not to be afraid. We talked about what it means to defeat fear, okay? You realize that no one can argue with your testimony. Your testimony is your experience. You are the PhD expert of the entire world on what happened to you. The entire nation can vote and say, that didn't happen, and you will still be the authority because you are the one who knows. That's the power of the gospel. And it's so important. It's so important that we have that gospel in our testimony because it is the gospel that changes people's lives. That's what changes their lives. And so we talked, as we said, defeating the fear of witnessing. And we found that it's normal to be afraid. Hey, listen, you went through 7 weeks of this. Some of you, listen, here's what's happened to you. It's happened to all of us at one time or another. Think, I ought to say something. I ought to share this with a server or somebody that's waiting me on the store. Or I ought to share this with my neighbor. I ought to share this with the person that is working at the desk across from me. And you back down because you're afraid. And for some of you, 7 weeks won't change that unless you are willing to make a positive forward. And realize this, it's normal to be afraid. It's normal. It's normal. We have a tremendous fear of reject, but it's normal to be afraid. Secondly, we need to understand that when we witness, we need to go in the power of prayer. This is going to make you, by the way, being a witness is going to draw you closer to God because it makes you a better prayer warrior. You know you're dependent on Him. You know that you're dependent on Him. And so you ask people to pray for you. Yeah, you ask people to pray. I regularly ask people to pray for me and say, listen, I think I'm going to have this opportunity. I'm going to have this opportunity to share my faith. Or this person's in this situation. I want you to pray. I want you to pray for me. Understand that you are not alone. You don't have to go in there by yourself. It's not all dependent on you. The Holy Spirit of God is with you. And there are others who love you and support you and will pray for you. And God promises He'll hear their prayers. Thirdly, we need to expect to face opposition. Someone's going to say, you know, that's not my thing. It's just, no, that's not for me. You know, I thought I wanted that, but that's just not for me. It's okay. We're going to face opposition. And by the way, there is a certain amount of spiritual warfare there. There are going to be those things that trip you up, all right? They're going to trip you up. All right? That's what's going to happen. There's no doubt. You can face that opposition, and it'll slow you down, and it will cause you a little bit of a problem. It'll slow you down. You have a little bit of fear there. You're distracted. So know that you're going to face opposition, but you have to continue to move on. You know, that's what there's temptation we face. There are all types of circumstances that happened in our life. I had a situation recently, and it was spiritual warfare. It was opposition, and you know, the devil will just use anything. He will use anything to get to you. And so yesterday I was with the grandchildren. We were doing this, and we were at a swimming pool, so I was going to jump in the pool, and you know what? I'm telling you this. The devil somehow took my phone and put it in my pocket. That's what he'll do. Tell him. Put it in my pocket, and my phone's dead as a hammer. Y'all have any comprehension of what it's like for me to be without a phone? I mean, it's chaos. It is absolute chaos. By the way, I don't think the devil put it in my pocket. I think the devil was probably watching and saying, hey, don't bother fooling with him. He'll do it himself. Okay? And he was right. That's exactly what I did. Exactly what I did. But I'll tell you, it was a distraction. I had a couple people that I really needed to call, and of course I don't have their numbers anymore. You know, I don't have their numbers. I don't know how to get there. I just nothing. And you know, hey, I'm praying the Lord. It's upset here. It's upsetting for me for a couple days. But you just stay after it. I mean, I've already kind of refocused one opportunity I think I'm going to have tomorrow, but it's going to be different without a phone. That's okay. We're going to face opposition. Things are not easy all the time. They're not simple. Fourthly, focus on the witness rather than the win. You know, not everyone is going to say, yes, oh, I want to know him. But listen, you've done your part. We're to be witnesses. You've told your story. We're not responsible for the yeses and the noes here. We're not responsible for the outcome, and you're not working on commission. And lastly, realize it is a matter of obedience. Obedience. We talked about opportunities to tell your story. How do you do this? Let me tell you, there's greater opportunity, natural opportunity to witness than there has ever been in our lives. We've never had a better opportunity than we have right now. You want to know why? Because of these three things I'm going to tell you. First of all, people's experiences. Everybody's got something going on. Everyone has something going on. Every one of you are facing a challenge. Some are larger than others. Some are smaller. But it is a spiritual issue. And we talked about, listen for people sharing experiences like yours. Secondly, listen for people sharing emotions like yours. People are going through a lot. Look for opportunities in current events. People are paying attention to what's happening in the world, and it gives us an opportunity. So what are we to do now? After this seven weeks, what are we to do now? Well, three things. We are to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power, and the Holy Spirit has come upon you. When you come to know Christ as your Savior, immediately the Holy Spirit comes into your life. And what you do is you must claim the power of that Holy Spirit. You're filled, as it says in Ephesians 5:18, filled with the Holy Spirit. And you do that on a daily basis. You don't get it at a later time. There's not a second blessing there. Sometimes we have to give God control of our lives, and that is letting the Holy Spirit lead our lives. So live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, focus on the commitments you've made. A lot of you sign things. Listen, you need to decide, I'm going to do this. I'm going to share my story. I'm going to make a difference. That's what I'm going to do. And you've made that commitment. You signed that form. You put a date on it. Said, I'm going to share my story. I'm going to do what needs to follow up on your commitments. It's a daily basis. It's like you do in your work. There's some things that you do every day. As a Christian, you pray. You study God's word. You give. You love. You minister to. And you witness. You share your faith. And lastly, you share your story with someone this week. I tell you, you need to share. You need to be accountable to someone else to share your story. It may be with a server in a restaurant. It may be, as I said, with a clerk in a store. It may be someone that you're in a waiting room with. It may be the best friend that you've ever had. It may be your neighbor. It may be your cousin. It may be someone. But God's going to bring someone into your path. And if you look for those opportunities, He's going to give them to you, and He's going to give you success. And He's going to give you the opportunity to make investments. This is an opportunity. The principle behind this is the opportunity. Make your life count. There are a lot of you in here that are not satisfied with your life spiritually and in other ways. Why does my life not mean more? Why am I not more successful? Why is my life not more meaningful? Why am I not having and making a difference in other people's lives? God gives you the opportunity. You have to pay attention. And as a part of the body of Christ, you are able to do that. Do you realize that God uses everything in our life? I love to say it. You know it. It's all connected. It is. It is. And I want to just share with you some examples, because God uses everything that He possibly can. He uses everything in our life to direct us and guide us, everything. And he keeps using things that He planted in our life years ago, and He plants things in our life that He's going to use years from now. Today is our 40th wedding anniversary today. We've been married 40 years today. I mean, it's a lot. Yeah, thank you. And, you know, I'm telling you, we kid about that, but I'll tell you what, Laura deserves 2 for 1. She deserves an 80-year thing. Being married to me is 2 years. Now, wait, you don't have to clap about that now, all right? But there's no telling where I'd be or what I'd be doing. It wouldn't be up to any good. I mean, you know, just God has used that and continues to use her and continues to use that. And it takes you through the good things. God takes you in that relationship through the good things, the bad things. You see, that's the thing that God uses. God uses those that He's put into your life. God uses His church, and He uses those opportunities. Now, I want you to stay with me here for a second. This is very important. Is that we're focusing in that you want to get to the place is that I have the opportunity to look at someone and share my faith. Talk to them about Jesus. That's where we want to get to, all right? But listen to me. That is the essence. If you understand that, you also can understand there are a lot of other things that I am doing. The Great Commission says that we are to go and make disciples to the ends of the earth. Acts 1:8 says that we are to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You see, the Lord gives you opportunities to share. But He gives you opportunities that come through other things as well. We have a group. I want you to pray today. We've had a group that's returning from Nicaragua. When I said it last Sunday, when they go, we go. As a part of our church. And they are there, and they've shared Christ in churches that we help plant. Barrios where they've going and feeding people and sharing the gospel and doing door to door. We are a part of that. You are a part of that as a part of this church. You're a part of that. You get to be a part of it. You get to make a difference. We do that in our Bible fellowship. When we study the Word of God and we grow in the Word of God, you're a Bible fellowship teacher. And I'll give you an example here in a moment of how you make a difference. You're active in a Bible fellowship class with other believers. You make a difference to take the gospel. this Wednesday night, we're going to have you'll see it here in your bulletin, a worship service. And the reason we've done this worship service is we're having about 20-25 Chinese students that are going to come and be with us for a week. You know, I always love this. This group comes, and I assume it's the same. I don't know. They come, and these students are wanting to see. This is the thing I love. They want to see America. And so they come, and they're going to go to New York, and they're going to go to Washington, maybe Boston, and Spartanburg. Don't you just love that? Okay? Don't you just love that? You know, I mean, that's what you want. You don't know America, man. You go to New York, Washington, Spartanburg. You know, I just think that's great. But they come, and they come from a Chinese background. They're not Christians, okay? I mean, they're not Christians. And so what we're going to do is we're going to have a worship service Wednesday night to show them what it's like how Christians worship. Now, I'm telling you, it's going to be at 6:45 in the Rock, and you need to be there. You need to be there. You may not be a part of the music. There may be no reason. You need to be there. You need to be there. It's an opportunity that you have. I'm not asking you to come because you're a Chinese translator, okay? I'm not asking you to be there because some of you may be experts in Buddhism, okay? I'm not asking you to be there because you understand that cultural or you're involved in international trade. I'm asking you to be there so that when they walk in, they're going to see a bunch of people that have come together and they worship this person that we're trying to tell them about named Jesus. And these Americans those homes who they will grow to know and love, and they will see people and say, these people really believe. And that will be maybe the moment of the entire trip. So you want to be a witness? Hey, it's not the only thing, and it doesn't take the place of you sharing your faith, but you don't want to lose that opportunity. You don't want to lose that opportunity. You want to be there, be a part of that. We're going to do it in the Rock. 6:45, you come, be a part of that. And in fact, Scott Duke's going to share a special message. They are coming from a school that we've been into. Because of this group, we've been into that school in China. Scott has been over there, and Scott's going to share a message with them as a part of the worship service. It is going to be a fantastic opportunity. Fantastic opportunity. You don't want to miss that. You want to be there. You want your families to be there. You want to say we're trying to make a difference with the gospel. That is all a part of what God's doing. You're a witness because of the partnerships we have. This week I had an opportunity. I've got two of our mission partners. I was in a witnessing situation, and two of our mission partners are going to play a key role in the lives of people. That wouldn't happen if we didn't have these partnerships. It wouldn't happen if we did not give to our missions offering. It wouldn't happen. Well, that's an opportunity that we have. I'm thanking God for that. Because it's not just me, and it's not just us. It's them in meeting the need of those people. You are a part of that. And God gives us an opportunity to make a difference. Maybe a lot of you were here last week when we had the memorial service for Jeff Pierce. And they've been praying for Renee and the boys, and that was a great loss to us, who was killed in that cycling accident. And so it was just a tremendous, tremendous witness. And in the service, I Joe was telling me, and I have his Bible here. And so Joe let me look at his Bible. And so when I looked at his Bible, I got this back, and they're here today. And so I went through his Bible. And here's what I found. Let me tell you something. There's a great story here. First of all, I want to tell you, if you think it doesn't make a difference, this is Jeff's testimony. Jeff was here every week, okay? He did every week, every believer witness. And so I said, you know, I'm going to let Jeff preach his funeral. A lot of times I say that. It's a wonderful Christian. They've always preached their funeral. I said, he is going to preach it. I probably talked for 3 minutes out of 25. I just read stuff he did. He did his Bible. And here's what this is what he wrote. These are his words, not mine. And this was in session five. We're trying to hone that testimony when you're going to tell somebody for about a minute and a half. And he said, my life before I met Jesus, Episcopal church to unchurched, insecure, a follower, risk-taking, looking for lasting relationships, wanting to be accepted. And then how I came to accept Jesus into my life, acknowledged a need for change in my life, gave up current lifestyle, was introduced to the gospel by strong believers at Western Carolina University. I acknowledged my sinful nature and surrendered to the Lord in response. And by the way, a couple of those guys at Western Carolina are in our church even today, that God used them years ago in this. And then he said, my life since then, more secure and at peace with and in my life. God met my needs for security with true friendship, Renee, purpose, using my strengths, becoming a servant-oriented person. And I looked I shared that testimony. I said, there's what it is. Simple as it was, he wrote it sitting there in the pew. He was just like you. He didn't have it. There are a few little dot, dot, dots in here because he didn't have time to write it all down. But I'm going to tell you something. I shared that testimony with hundreds of people in here, and I'm going to tell you something, folks. That's what they remembered. They didn't remember anything I said. They remembered that. And God used that testimony. And I saw in the session where it said where he made the commitments, and I had my study I left in there this morning where he signed all those commitments. I'm going to share my faith. And he signed it and he dated it. And that was exactly what he decided to do. And that was only several days before he went to be with the Lord. And when I looked at that, I went through there and I saw all types of things. I went through his Bible. And let me tell you, Jeff was a great deacon. He was a great servant. He would do anything we asked him to do, okay? Man, we never had to worry about his ego. We never had to worry about, you know, he was gonna get upset about something. I'm telling you, that guy, he was there for us. And all of our staff would tell you that. I mean, he was there every single time. But I'm going to tell you something. He grew because I want you to understand, you had the opportunity. When he came here, when he and Renee got married came here, and Jeff would tell you this. Man, Jeff didn't know anything about Scripture. He knew nothing about Scripture. He didn't know what it was to walk with the Lord. But you know what? He grew up in this church as an adult man. And I'm telling you, you look at his Bible, and what I found in there is there's all types of sermon outlines in there, and there's notes that he made. There are notes in there where he refers to Bible fellowship teachers, you know. Hey, teachers, sometimes when you think that they're not getting it, and you think, boy, I just don't know if I did this lesson right, or boy, it just takes too much time. I need to do something else, and I need to be away from this. Understand, you're making an investment in people. And you were a part in every person that he touched if you were in that Bible fellowship. You made that difference. You see, God gives us a chance to make a difference. And it's critical. It's important. People's lives are on the line. And even in his last day, Jeff continues to be a witness and his life continues to make a difference. Friday afternoon, I was just studying some and finishing up some things Debbie Christopher was here, and she did, and I'm so grateful she did this. Debbie Christopher comes in, and she said, there's a man sitting in our parking lot. And she didn't know him, and she was going to her car. And so he just, man didn't know her, and he just started speaking to her. But, you know, it was a little bit, you know, what is this, you know? Speaks and said, I need somebody to talk to. I need somebody. Would you go in and ask somebody to come talk to me? And so she came back in. I appreciate her doing it. She just could have gone on. She came back in, and so I happened to be here, and so I said, sure, I'll go out there, and you never know what you're going to see. We see anything and everything in the world. And so I walked up there, and there was a young man there, and 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 he had his head down in the car, and I just tapped on the window, and he opened the door, and I said, "Can I help you?" And he was obviously he was very distraught about something. I mean, it was like 150 degrees out there, and so we stood out there for a few minutes, and he sat in the car, and I was talking to him just with the door open there, and it was obvious he had just terrible trials life. I said, "You need to come in here, and let me talk to you." And so I said, "Come in here, let me talk to you." And so we came up here, and he was parked right out here. And so we came in this door. I said, "Let's just sit down here." We just sat down on the floor under the ticket window down there. And we just sat down on the floor, and he started talking. I said, "Tell me what's happening with you." He's facing some real serious issues and some really serious personal problems, but had just a great attitude, but just did not know what to do. And so I started talking to him about the Lord. And I said, "Well, why did you come here?" He said, "Well, I went to church. There wasn't anybody there at church that I used to go to. And so I came here, and just sitting here, didn't know what to do." And I said, "Well, let me talk to you about the Lord." And I did. I talked to him about the Lord. And he said, "That's what I need. I've got to get this out of my life. I've got to do something with this." And I mean, he was just so distraught. And I said, "Do you understand this?" And I took it through him, and a lot of times in my witness, I always use a piece of paper. I couldn't find a piece of paper anywhere. Okay, so I'm just doing this. I'm doing the same stuff, but so I'm sharing the gospel with him. I shared the gospel with him, and then I remembered that I had a Steps to Peace thing in my pocket, so I pulled it out and I said, "This is the essence of what we're talking about," and I took him through that. I don't think I'll ever forget this. And by the way, wonderful thing is he prayed to receive Christ. He's not solve all the problems and not issues. There's still a lot of issues to deal with, and I'm praying for him and want help in any way I can. And he didn't say this for any reason. And it wasn't about me. He didn't even know my name. May not know my name now. Okay. I mean, I've told him, but it's okay. But he said the most profound thing. He said, "Boy, I wish I'd talked to you a month ago." And of course, I didn't have that opportunity. So it's not. That was the opportunity I had right then. That's the only one I had. But I wonder how many people out there that you know and I know, that you're going to see them pretty soon, and they're in the midst of a crisis right now, or they're going to be in one, work-wise, relationship. And there's somebody that you know, and they're going to say, how many people are thinking, "If you had that answer, I wish you'd told me a month ago. I wish you'd told me 2 months ago. I wish you'd share with me what Christ has done in your life." We are to be witnesses. Christ changes lives, and that forms a foundation. I want you to understand, all of this has a purpose. Every believer or witness is a foundation for everything else we do as a church, for our missions, opportunities, for our Bible fellowship. Everything, that foundation is that people need to know Jesus. As a result of this, Jeff had family members come to know Christ. There are others who are talking about their relationship with Jesus Christ. God used that. And some of the best work he'd ever done, he did continue to do while he was with the Lord in heaven. We are to be witnesses. Hey, I don't want anybody to ever say to us, "Boy, I wish you'd told me a month ago. I didn't have that opportunity," but that's what I thought. Sitting right there on that floor, I thought, "Man, I bet there's somebody else that I should have told them. I should have told them, and I had that opportunity, and I hadn't." I need to be clear about that, folks. There's not an option. It's all connected. So everything we do, and it comes back to the personal witness, comes back to us, me, here. Am I going to share my faith? And if I believe that Christ died for my sin, that he saved me, and that I'm going to heaven, then I have a responsibility to share it. And when I that responsibility to share it personally spreads out into everything I do, the missions and efforts that I'm involved in, Bible fellowship, Bible study, prayer, whatever it is, everything becomes about that. There's nothing more important. He is the place to start. Whatever your situation, hey, it starts with a relationship with Him. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before You today, God, this is a lot of stuff, but it's oh so simple. It's oh so simple. Lord, for us to know what we should do and what we should be, Lord, I do pray. I do pray for those that are returning from Nicaragua. They've represented us and other trips that are going to be leaving here trip to China soon. Lord, we just pray and other trips we take. And God, I pray for those. I pray, Lord, for this Chinese worship service that they'll see believers. I pray, God, You'll find us faithful. We'll be there. We'll be there and we'll make a difference. Lord, for Bible fellowship classes, for witnessing opportunities, for student ministries, children ministries, for our student camp that's upcoming, our children's camp. Lord, we pray that You'd use that. And Lord, we pray that we would be witnesses. We pray, Lord, that people here today would understand what it means to know Christ as Savior. Lord, I pray for those who need to come today and profess their faith and say, I want to give my life to Christ. I pray for those who want to come today and they're believers, followers of Christ, need a place to worship and serve and become a part of this church. I pray, dear God, for believers that all of us are on that edge. Should I say something? Should I not say something? Lord, we need courage. We need opportunities in the midst of circumstances. Give us clarity. I pray, Lord, there are people here who are dealing with people in difficult circumstances and they need that opening and give them courage and give them strength. And Lord, may they know that they're being prayed for. However, Lord, may we respond to You and say yes to You. And Lord, may they come wherever they might be. The balcony, the main floor, but coming and say yes to Jesus. Because He is the only answer. The only way it's solved is to say yes to Jesus. So, Lord, we give this time to You now. This invitation to You in Jesus' precious name. Lord, the Lord gives a great opportunity to you and to me. A great opportunity to be a part of something that is truly great. But for some here, the first step for you is to come and to acknowledge that you've given your heart and life to Jesus Christ. If you don't know how to do that, we'll tell you how to do that. Maybe some need a church home, as I prayed a moment ago, and you need to come and do that today. Or to come to these prayer rails because you know you're the one. You didn't ask for it, but you're the one that God has given that opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ. It's time to be found faithful. However the Lord is touching you, as we sing here, as we stand and sing in a moment, would you come? Would you just step out and come? I'll be here. Others will be here to meet you. As we stand and as we sing together, would you come right now?